This is Warrior Sound Live.
Here comes Curry. Step back off the dribble three.
Here's Lawrence Scott.
Hey, thank you. We are joined by one of our very favorites, an NBA champion with the Warriors and now a basketball and business consultant for the team, Zaza Pachulia. And Zaza, so great to talk to you. How is everything? How's the family doing? And what are things like these days for you? And we'll get into what basketball and business consultancy for the team has been, but how are things?
Hey, Lawrence. Thanks for having me. I definitely miss talking to you. We have a great 2-year memories together that we were part of the Warriors, and I'm still back. It's good to be back and join the team where I had the most memorable 2 years of my career and life, probably winning the championships for both me and my family, and obviously being on the other side of this game. It's as exciting as it was on the court, and to be working alongside with Rick Welts and his team and Bob Myers and his team. It was an amazing experience with getting to know a lot of great people, smart people, hardworking people, and be part of the team that's been done an amazing job so far. And obviously, keep going and keep increasing the levels, and obviously expectations of the Warriors are so high on and off the court. And just to be part of the team, it's been truly a blessing.
How dynamic has it been, and what's the first season at Shea Center? New business opportunities, but if you can help us understand what new business opportunities for the team have been and how you've been able to help in some of that.
Yeah, I mean, I've been lucky to join the team during this time, even though, 2020 didn't quite start well for us, not only for the team and franchise, but whole league and, just sports in the whole world, right, because of the pandemic. But just experiencing the things that, new arena with so many challenges and getting used to it in the fan base, getting fans in Shea Center, and one of the amazing arenas I have seen, honestly. And, one thing I'm kind of disappointed in not being able to play there, play on the court and watching the team from my seats. But it's a challenge, right? I mean, it's new, it's different. Now we control, when it comes to the revenues versus what we were in the Oracle. We were basically a tenant, but here, we control our own destiny. So, when it comes to the business side, it's a pretty challenging. Working with the sponsorships, obviously the tickets, the for the fans. For us, we want the fans to have memorable days and experience when they come to the Shea Center. Then there's a basketball side where, things didn't go our way. And especially what we have seen the past 5 years, winning the 3 championships and, 5 finals appearance. So that's where you really learn and grow, to be honest. When you hit the wall and, things just doesn't go your way, then you really get into details and, seeing what didn't work and where was the mistake done, where you can improve, basically. Obviously, high draft pick, all of that to really start scouting, and everybody has been involved from, Joel Acob to Bob and, everybody else, all the assistant GM, all the management and scouts. And I've been scouting a lot myself, especially pros and, free agency is such an important part with the draft. So it's been an amazing year. Unfortunately, like I said, this pandemic kind of stopped everything, and we're not even allowed to go in the arena. But our job continues with scouting, watching a lot of films, and interviewing the players, prospects, and that's going to be eligible in the draft this year. So, it's nonstop work, hard work, and every day literally getting more familiar, more comfortable being this side of this business.
What has some of that preparation been during this time period, especially for the draft and evaluating prospects? How have you guys been able to do that exactly?
Yeah, like I said, like before, before this pandemic was announced, we used to go to the, we were spread out basically. There's so many players, it's going to be eligible. There's hundreds of players going to be in the draft, but you want to make sure you pick the right player, right player, like right person that fits your culture and it's part of the team and represents our team, so on and off the court. And it's a lot of scouting, watching the games, hear, you know, understanding the personality of the player and, you know, different. And especially, it's such a global game. You're talking about players all over the world, right? You know, some of them are in Europe. Some of them are locally here in different states, different colleges. Some of them are in Asia, right now, you know, it's Australia, you name it, right? So it's a pretty diverse, to be honest, when it comes to the scouting. And that's why you need as many people as possible. Sometimes, like, we would let two different people go and scout the same player, you know, that way kind of bring different perspective and, you know, different ideas. And end of the day, of course, they're the people in our organization, either Bob Myers and Joe Lacob, making those decisions. But you got to do your homework. You got to bring you the best information as possible when it comes to evaluating the player as an athlete and as a person.
We'll get to some of the business side in a second, but that, what you were just saying, leads me to wonder, at the time period when you were being identified in Georgia as a pro prospect, what was that for you at the time, and how were you approached as somebody that the NBA was interested in? What was that time frame? What were those stories?
Yeah, that was quite some time ago. It was 17 years ago, and I mean, I'm sure communication opportunity was different. Travel, you know, was different. You know, things change right now. You know, you have especially technology getting more involved in this game. You know, helps us to share the videos and documents and, you know, clips of, you know, within the seconds, right? Versus back then, it was more challenging. So, you know, I can say that I wish we had this kind of treatment when it comes to, you know, the privilege to have this kind of technology. But at the same time, I'm glad that I got to play with that type of basketball where it was, you know, Shaq and Yao Ming and Alonzo Mourning and Mutombo were dominating as a center position. And, you know, and myself as a center, teams had more center spots than obviously today. Today, maybe one or two true centers per team versus back then. I remember my rookie year, second year, was like six centers. So it's a more competition. Obviously, as a young guy, like 19 years old, I was, you know, I had to work extra hard and, you know, to earn my spot, first of all, in the practice to play a 5-on-5 and then at the games, you know. So it kind of definitely developed me, like, you know, fighting mentality and, you know, never give up mentality. And I ended up having 16 amazing year career, and I'm very thankful for it. But, you know, every day, literally, you know, analytics is a huge part. Obviously, back then, we didn't know the word analytics versus now, and it's such a, you know, important word. And, you know, there are so many teams actually pays too much attention, and there are teams that don't pay attention. Very few teams don't pay attention, but, you know, I think majority of teams are, like, trying to balance out, basically, analytics versus the reality, right? So, it's, again, it's important, you know, stage of life and approach to the business of basketball, where, you know, yeah, so many different varieties that, you know, helps you to find the talent. But at the end of the day, it's a decision process, right? So it's pretty interesting. And so whatever I learned, whatever I saw this year has been amazing.
Most certainly. And as we are joined here by Zaza Pachulia, most Warriors fans know of you as a champion on a team that was one of the most transcendent teams ever in the history of the league. But we know, because you and I had even bonded over a book called Blockbusters by one of the professors at the Harvard Business School, that you've long held strong interest in the business side of things, and also didn't just talk about doing something about it. You did do something called taking part in Harvard Business School curriculum, and it's something you've been very serious about for quite some time. When did you know that business was a calling, and what were those experiences, especially at Harvard, that help inform some of what you do today as a business and basketball consultant for the team?
You know, Lawrence, I'm so thankful of you, because you recommended a book, a Blockbuster, and obviously author Anita Elbers, that, you know, she's, I didn't Google it. I didn't Google who Anita was. And, you know, obviously I started reading the book. It was so interesting, especially, it was very close to the interest I had when it comes to sports and entertainment, right? Media, et cetera. So, and I enjoyed reading the book. It was such an easy-to-read book. And a couple of years later, I was sitting in Harvard business class, And guess who was the professor? Anita Elbert. So, like, and then the things we were just talking about, I say, this is familiar, right? So I had a hard time to connect the book and professor. But once you start talking during the 90-minute class, I said, that's so many, I've seen this somewhere. And then obviously I ended up connecting to that, you know, and it was amazing. It helped me so much. And that's why I keep telling these young kids, and, you know, it doesn't matter, whoever it is, like, you know, to read a book, it's such an important part of our lives. And especially when you have, dreams, and when you have passion of do something, succeed, especially business side, right? And that's what I have for the last couple of years. And, you know, reading books definitely helped me a lot. And that's perfect example for me, how reading particular book helped me in the MBA Harvard class. And I'm thankful of you because you are the one who recommended that particular book. So, and right now, actually, with working with the Warriors, also, I've been going to Stanford taking classes in sports and management and, you know, in the negotiations class now. So, I've been going from one class to another. It's been an amazing experience. And Professor George Foster, who's one of the best in the business, he's done a great job of organizing those classes, having amazing guest speakers with their experience and stories to tell and share their stories and experiences when it comes to, you know, either negotiating contract or negotiating deals with when it comes to the arena and sponsors and. Life is negotiation, to be honest. Every day we're dealing with negotiating with each other, right? So, but, you know, this situation we're talking about, more professional level. So it's been great successful year. But, you know, nowadays, since we are limited with getting out and stuff, it's more of a scouting, and as we've been doing a lot of watching the films and scouting.
Well, I would be remiss at this moment if I didn't let you know that I've for a long time been friends with Dr. Foster and his son Scott, who I met at school and being around Stanford campus and understanding what he's doing in business. And actually, with the Blockbusters book, it was Shane Bills in Salt Lake City who's running a startup at the point that I had met him, and he was helping with some of the players and some different projects. And he had actually helped Dr. Elbers with the book Blockbusters. And I was thinking, you know, this is an interesting topic. For those who are interested in this book, one of the main themes of it is how global sports enterprises, and I think they use the examples of like Real Madrid, FC Barcelona, some of the European soccer teams, they almost look at talent acquisition as if it were a Hollywood movie. And with the salary cap in the NBA, we have to consider a different model, but up to only a certain point. I mean, talent does fuel this. When you think of the book and you think about the work that you're doing now and you think about what it is to procure talent and foster talent in the NBA, how does all of this align, Zaza?
You know, that's an interesting question, Lawrence, that obviously going to Stanford now, you know, we had case studies about, you know, NFL or MLS or NFL, you know, it's NBA, MLB, NASCAR, and, you know, TV deals, and, you know, basically it covers everything, right, when it comes to sports and entertainment. And you find so many similarities, but at the same time, you find so many things that, you know, we're doing differently, you know, so, That's been one of the funnest part, where, you know, trying to differentiate it, like, you know, why they're doing differently and what's the motivation behind it, what's, you know, what kind of goal they have. And, you know, same that it's sports, we are part of the sports, but same time there's a competition between the leagues, and because they're all, you know, we're all trying to be the best, and we're all trying to be a, you know, role model and you know, competing against each other, right? When it comes to the fan base, when it comes to the TV deals, you know, when it comes to recognition, right, the worldwide. And us as a basketball world, we are so lucky because of the history. And, you know, obviously, lately we've been talking about David Stern, how he impacted and helped this game to become a global game, right? So we like it to be in this situation. But, you know, obviously, right, nowadays, in our job is, you know, not only continue that legacy and that approach, but also even make it even better, you know. So, again, of course, we have a leader, you know, Adam Silver is leading the pack, but same time, I feel like we all are leaders and we have huge responsibilities as organizations or separately as the basketball clubs to do the right things in the community and, you know, for the basketball, for the players, and, you know, for the whole world, because basketball is a pretty popular sport in the world.
Most certainly. And as we kind of wrap things up here, I think of just this past weekend here before we tape this, we've seen in the recent weeks movement for some sports leagues to return. We were talking about European soccer a second ago, but the German Bundesliga returning to action, and they have top flight teams that play in Champions League, including Bayern Munich and Borussia Dortmund. And you see the success that they have at a very high level, and you see how they're now operating their league to make sure to return to action. I'm sure you've thought of this, but at the point that we see NBA action back on the court, what are some of the things that we can learn from some of these leagues that are returning to their respective playing fields?
Yeah, it's interesting, Lawrence. Like, you know, obviously, the Bundesliga was one of the first leagues that, you know, continued the live sports, and they had the games. And this morning, I was reading about NASCAR, and also we experienced a UFC fight right in Florida. All of them without the fans. And the first clip I saw, one of the Bundesliga games, and there was a goal. Somebody scored a goal. I don't remember what player scored a goal, but you know, normally knowing the soccer game where it's thousands of people, tens of thousands of people, right? So you're talking about more than 50,000 people in the stadium, and especially in Germany and Europe, soccer is so popular. And if, when home team scores the goal, you know, this stadium going nuts, right? There was so much noise and excitement and, you know, energy. And after the goal, literally, the players' celebration was like nothing. And I said, wow, that's where I really felt like, wow, this is different. You know, it was different. And, you know, so many players getting in trouble because they're getting crazy after the goal, after they scored the goal, like, you know, taking the jerseys off, and they're getting a yellow card, or, you know, they're getting a fine from by the team or the league. This was just normal. Like, they scored a goal, and okay, we just move on to the next one. And of course, I mean, we realizing how fans are such an important part of our lives when it comes to sports. And, you know, we're definitely missing them. But again, understanding on the other side the reason why this is happening. And again, hopefully the environment and situation going to help this current situation get back to normal as soon as possible, and get fans back on seats. And because as an athlete, I played in this game as well. Of course, you can prepare for the game as much as you can physically, mentally, but end of the day, once you step on the court or on the field, that extra juice, right, the extra 10%, 20%, 30%, whatever it is, the energy you getting from the crowd and from the, you know, from the fans. So yeah, we are entertaining business. So, like, what are you entertaining? Like, if the crowd is not in the game, right? So we're definitely going to miss that. And, you know, the three examples I mentioned when it comes to either soccer Bundesliga, German Bundesliga, or NASCAR, I was reading how that felt as the drivers or as a media outlets, and as well as UFC. It was different. But, again, hoping that we're going to get back to normal soon.
Always incredible to talk to you. Always great to know that you're well, your family's well. Thank you for spending some time with us. We'll do this again, and I hope to see you in person sometime soon, because our conversations are always incredible. But thank you so much for taking the time here now to speak with the fans and let everybody know what you've been up to this past season and how things are going. And Zaza, thank you so much.
Thanks, Lawrence, and I'm expecting another recommendation of books, because you are 100%, my friend. So I need another recommendation. You never know when I'm going to have this kind of experience again.
When Pride Still Mattered. It's a book I just finished. David Moranis wrote it about Vince Lombardi and his early days and how he became such a great leader in his sport. I've mentioned it before on this show, but that book, finally just finished it. It's a remarkable piece of journalism and sports biography that is certainly worth reading. When Pride Still Mattered.
Thank you. You're the best, Lawrence.
Thank you, Zaza. Talk to you soon.
Has been Warriors Sound Live.
Right side three. Got it!